Well, hello there. This is Kimberly Oliver from Living from the Heart, and it's so good to be with you today. You know, we have talked a lot about seasons, and Living from the Heart, we have talked about different seasons in my life. That's what this radio program is all about, just doing life. You know, one of my favorite sayings is, let's do life together. And, you know, in life, we are doing life with others. We're doing life together. We're doing the happy times, the sad times, and whichever season we're in. You know, I love Ecclesiastes in the Bible. In chapter 3, I'm reading out the Amplified. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every matter or purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away the stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get loose and a time to keep time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit remains for the worker from all his toil? You know, I love that because it covers everything that we go through in life, because we go through different seasons with our kids, with our parents, you know, with life in general. We just go through different seasons, and it's so amazing as you go through it, because some seasons are not fun, are they? You know, perhaps you're going through a season right now and you're going, God, what are you up to? I have done that so many times. And every time I do, I just have to go back to the Word and talk to the Lord. Like in the Psalms 107, it says, then they cried unto the Lord in their inner trouble, and he delivered them out of all their distress. You know, when I go through troubles, I always go to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you doing? What are you trying to show me? Because most of the times he's trying to show me either to trust him and not worry about it, or he's asking me to take a closer look. And I have to determine what that season is, because we love it in the good season. It's when we're laughing, when everything is good. I mean, it's just so awesome. It feels great. But, you know, those seasons will end. And if our expectation focuses on what the Bible says about seasons, there's a time for everything. If we know that, when we go through a sad season, we know it's just a season. So it has a beginning and it has an end. Everything in life has a beginning and end. And you know, one thing I have learned that I learn from seasons, if I will embrace them. You know, I know I talk about my grandson a lot, and I don't know, it was about 6 months ago, I heard a message on embrace the challenge. Because I was just going through a hard time. He was going through this five-year-old funk, I call it, where he was just being ornery. He was getting in trouble at the babysitters. He was just doing things that I didn't have a lot of patience for. And I heard this sermon about embracing the weight. And I don't even know who the pastor was, but embracing the weight. Because, you know, at 50, I'm 57 now. At 57, sometimes it gets hard, you know, raising a grandson by myself. Now, I have great people around me. I have friends that help. I have a son that helps. His dad helps. You know, people do help, but the day-to-day grind, sometimes it's just like, oh my gosh, this gets so hard and so heavy sometimes. But when I began to embrace the weight, that's when it began to change for me, embracing the weight. You know, I no longer thought, this is so hard. I began to think, you know what? I get to do this. I get to make a difference in his life. And I began to look at it differently. Because when we look at things differently, when we change the way we look at things, the things that we look at will change. And I know you've heard me say that on broadcast. You know, but perhaps you're going through a dark season right now. I mean, we all do. We all have those seasons because the Bible says that. What do you do in that dark season? I mean, do you have an attitude of, oh my gosh, this always happens to me? Or do you embrace it to say, you know what, this is a season, I'm going to get through it. Every season has a beginning and has an end, and I will embrace this season with a good attitude. Because a heart of gratefulness really helps us. I mean, if we are grateful in all things, even the things that are not fun, if we're grateful in those things, we go through it and we embrace the hardship. We embrace whatever is heavy to us. Just embrace it and say, Lord, I know that you know everything that's going on in this. You know, I know that you're faithful. You know, even when you have a loved one or a child that's gone off into a dark place, that's the hardest seasons. I know for me, when my kids are hurting, it hurts me so bad because they're grown now and I can't fix it for them. And so when we watch our loved ones or maybe even a spouse, the spouse that's gotten off track and that's not doing right and that you feel in your heart that something's not right, the best thing that you can do, my friend, is embrace them, love them, and pray for them. Because God has got them too. If they belong to you, they're your child, they're your seed, they belong to you. So you can pray for them and believe God for them. You have every right to, and God will get them through. I've had those same challenges. I have two grown boys, and each one of them have gone through different seasons, and I continue praying for my boys. I mean, they're doing good today, but I know that when they go through things, they always call mom and say, Mom, pray for me. And I know what that means, that they're going through a dark season. You know, as a mom and now a grandmother, I feel like it's even more my responsibility to really pray and really believe God for things that come up in my loved one's life. You know, my grandson, he's only 6, but I pray for him. I pray that he will have favor with his teachers and he'll have favor with men. And it works. He started off a little rough this year. He started his first year of kindergarten. And yes, I was getting notes sent home every day from the teacher. Brock did this, or Brock acted out, or Brock talks too much. He makes noise in the class. It was a lot of negatives. There was not one positive thing on his sheet of paper. And I was like, oh, Jesus. I think this was at the time where I felt like it was so heavy. Because I'm thinking, oh, this cannot be how our whole year is. But I embraced Brock and I began to talk to him. And, you know, I had to discipline him in some areas where to let him know that it's not okay to act that way at school. And, you know, we're about 8 weeks into it now and he is doing so good. I've not had to discipline him on anything major. He's really, really trying. And I changed the way I talked to him. I said, Brock, I believe in you and I know you can do this. And let's focus on one thing today. So every morning we would say, we're going to focus on this one thing and not give him a list because he's only 6. I'm sure he's overwhelmed at Kiki giving him all these directives. Don't do this, don't do that. I just began to focus on one thing. The next day we focused on another one thing. Because if we focus on one thing and let that be our focus, this one thing, I just have to get this one thing right. We can make better decisions. I know if I just have one task, it's much easier to conquer than if I have 10. Because when I have 10 tasks and it's all going and I feel like, oh my goodness, you know, I get overwhelmed. So can you imagine how a 6-year-old, if you're giving him 10 directives to do, he doesn't know which one to go first. But when I said just one thing, focus on. And maybe that's you today. You know, what is the one thing you're struggling with? Have you identified it? Remember when I said what you focus on expands? If you focus on the bad thing, and if you focus on that constantly, that's all you're going to think about. But if you focus on the promise of God, of what God could do in that situation, it'll help you embrace the situation so you can carry it out. Because it's not easy. It's not easy to go through life and do things. But I tell you, the word is full of promises. It is full of promises. In Psalms and Proverbs, there's tons of promises. In Psalms 105 in verse 24, I'm sorry, 104 verse 24, it says, Oh Lord, how many and varied are your works? In wisdom have you made them all. The earth is full of your riches and your creatures. You know, the Lord is so full of promises all through the Word. I could go through so many Psalms as I'm sitting here looking at my underlined Bible. And when you find a scripture in the Bible that you love, underline it, mark it, put a date on it, claim it for yourself. Put it on sticky notes around your house of what you're standing on. And let the Word of God come out of your mouth instead of complaining. Because complaining is basically re-energizing that fear, that frustration. It gives it more life than it needs. But if you put in place of that one thing, say it's love. This is something I told somebody the other day. They were struggling in their marriage. And, you know, I gave them the love scripture from 1 Corinthians 12. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrong. So every place that there is love, I put Kimberly is patient, Kimberly is kind. Kimberly does not take notice of wrongdoings. Kimberly walks in patience. Kimberly does this. So everywhere there's love, put in your name. And that is going to change the way you look at things when it comes to your marriage. I promise you, when it comes to your marriage or something like that, it's going to help you remain faithful. And when you say Kimberly is patient, Kimberly is kind, Kimberly takes no count for wrongdoings. When you put your name in that place where love is, that is going to help you so much. And I believe that is 1 Corinthians 12. But it's something, a good little checkup for you when you get ready to go down a wall of complaining. It's much easier if you do it in love, because love is patient. It is so patient. So I want you to challenge yourself to do that and be patient. You know, there's so many things that they hit us every single day, and we just have to continue giving it to the Lord, because God is wanting us. Do you know God just loves us to say, I love you? There's so many times when I don't know what to pray, and I'll say, God, I love you. I love you so much, Father. I don't know what you're doing in this season, but I love you and I trust you. Do you know God gets a great kick out of that? He loves it when we adore him, when we tell him how much we love him. Because it is his love that's going to get us through all things, because he loves us so much. So I want you to think about today, what are you dealing with? What keeps you up at night? Are you worried about finances? Are you worried about, you know, your life? Are you worrying about how you're going to pay your bills? Well, God is faithful over all those things. So when you think about that, you can say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're faithful. Especially if you're a tither, you have tither's rights. Because when we tithe, we're giving back to the Lord to say, money doesn't hold me. I'm going to give this to you, Lord, because I know you're going to work it out. And I will live on the 90% after I give you the 10%. And you know, and the great thing about where we live today in America, you can download so many apps, so many podcasts, and fill your mind full of good things. You know, when the Bible talks about renewing your mind, it's talking about renewing the way we think about things. And so if you get your heart full of God's scripture and replace a scripture with worry, you're going to see yourself come out better on the other side. You can pray that over your family. You can pray that over whatever situation you're dealing with. So I want you to think about one thing right now in your mind that bothers you. And say, God, I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to lay it on your altar. And I trust you to work out all the details. Father, give me wisdom on what I should do. You know, my friend, in James, it says that ask for wisdom and I will give it to you. So if you have not read your Bible, you know, start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start there and read that and see all the miracles that God did. You know, he walked on water. There's so many miracles he did right there in the Gospels. That's a great place to start. And I've told you again, in Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs, and you could read a proverb a day and get lots of wisdom out of that. One chapter a day kind of gives you wisdom on what you need to do and the character that we need to hold. There's so many good things in that. So I encourage you to do that. You know, God's so faithful. We celebrated 1 year of my mom's home going. And so I went to my family ranch this weekend, and I worked around the ranch with my good friend Rick Smith. And we worked on it, made it beautiful. And it just made me so thankful that my family left me a heritage. And I want to leave a heritage for my kids and my family, because I grew up going to the ranch as a little girl. I chased lizard, rode my dirt bike. I chased bugs, and it was so funny watching my grandson do the same thing. And I thought about generations. My grandfather had a dream over 50 years ago to buy this place. I know I was a young girl. I must have been 3 or 4. I'm not sure. I just remember getting bass in the wash tub and having to go to an outhouse to go to the bathroom. And it was many, many years ago, because it used to be a weekend place for us. But I still hold, that's been over 57 years. And for 57 years, we've been making memories on that ranch. And it's such a blessing because I go there and I can unplug. I can get away with the Lord, and I can just be thankful that I have that. And, you know, think about things that you're thankful for. If you make a list of everything you're thankful for and you go through, we're getting ready to go into Thanksgiving, and I make it a tradition to say something I'm thankful for every single day. I mean, there's something you can be thankful for. You got up. You know, you have your health, or you have, you know, maybe you just found out you have something that's not a good report from the doctor. But thank God that today you have breath in your lungs and you have wisdom. You have all the things that you need for today. Because the Lord's Prayer is, give me this day my daily bread. So this day is what you have to be focused on. If you have it today, be thankful for today, because nobody can take today away from you. Today is for you. God gave you today, and His mercy is new every single day. So listen to what comes out of your mouth. What are you saying? What are you speaking? Are you speaking God's promises? Are you talking things that are not positive? Because you're reinforcing, if you're thinking about the problem or if you're speaking the problem, you're not speaking out the promises of God, because God is faithful. So if He's trying to work something out for you and you're sabotaging by talking about the problem and saying it the way it is, you're sabotaging the faith that you need to believe for. But instead to say, Father, I know what it looks like, but I believe that You're going to work it out for me. I believe that. I believe that You're working this out for me. And if you'll do that constantly, my friend, every time you start to worry, just tell God, God, You're faithful. If that's all you can say, that's a breath prayer. God, You're faithful, and I know You love me. You know, and perhaps you haven't ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've kind of lost track of your relationship with Him, and you want to get back. It's so easy. You just say, God, I've been away for a long, long time, and I need You to come back in my life and restore everything I've let go. I need You to restore me. You know, sometimes we just have to get that relationship back with Him, because sometimes it doesn't look good, or, you know, it's just, we miss Him. We don't have that security to know that somebody loves us and somebody's working out our life details the way that they need to. It may not work out the way we want it to, but we have to trust that whatever He's done, it's the way He wanted it to work. You know, I've poured my heart and soul into things, and I've prayed and prayed and prayed for a situation, and it didn't work out the way that I thought it should. But today I look back and I'm like, God, You were so faithful there, because You removed something that was going to hurt me in the future. And I had to trust that, as much as it hurt. I was heartbroken. It was a loved one, and it was somebody that I loved deeply, probably more than I've loved anyone. But it wasn't a real, the love on the other side wasn't real. And God removed that from me. It broke me. It crumbled me when it happened. I didn't understand it, but I remember praying like, God, You're faithful. You're faithful. I don't understand this. I don't know how this could possibly happen, but I trust that You're faithful. And my friend, with all my broken pieces, for 2 years, it was broken pieces. I said, God, I don't understand this. I don't know how I let this happen. How did I miss this? And God began to show me things that I did miss. And God did not beat me up over it, but God tried to help me understand it so I could let it go. And I finally, my friend, it's been 3.5 years now, but I finally am restored from that. I don't think about that relationship anymore. As bad as it hurt, I am so thankful, because now I see that God really has something better for me. He has so much better for me. And I've picked up the pieces, and God has put my life back together. And, you know, it's a season I can say, thank You, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank You for removing that thing in my life that I thought was so great. But come to find out, it was a counterfeit. It wasn't real. And I don't want to be yoked up with anything unreal. How about you? You don't want to be yoked up with something that's not real. You want what God has for you, and only that, because only that can last forever. So I pray that you get that. I pray that ministers to someone today. That wasn't something I had planned to talk about today in my notes, But I pray that it did minister to you, because God has got amazing things for you, and you have to trust Him in all seasons. And I want to encourage you to go and read Ecclesiastes 3. And if you have several different translations, read all of them, because it's a great translation to show you that God has a season for everything. Think about it. If we went through life and everything was hunky-dory all the time, we wouldn't know what hard times were. And my friend, we're only going to experience that when we get to heaven. But while we're in this life, God wants us to have faith in Him. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to acknowledge His name. And He wants us to be in fellowship with Him. You know, have you found, do you have good friends that are, who are you hanging around with? I mean, are they people that speak truth? Or are they people that bring you down, that always speak doubt and unbelief and cuss and do all this stuff that does not bring life? And I'm not saying, I'm not judging anybody for anything, but I'm talking about your environment. What does your environment look like? Because your environment, you can create your environment any way you want to. You can weed out things that are negative. You can put those things away, because those things are not going to help you get to your place where God wants you. So if you have a lie, if you have something in your life that is stealing your peace, pay attention. If a relationship is not giving you peace, it's only giving you dark and mully grub seasons, then take a checkup on that and ask God if you're supposed to be in that relationship. Because my friend, He's going to tell you. And maybe if He doesn't say anything, then you just need to stand. But if that relationship brings you no peace, you need to end it. And I've been in those situations before. And, you know, God has told me to do things that weren't easy, but I did them. And today I can say I'm so glad I did, because God has brought great things in my life. I have great friends. I have great relationships in my life today. And it's because I allowed God to weed out things that I wasn't supposed to be into. And I know it's not easy, my friend. I know it's not, but do it. And you'll be thankful that you did. And it's not easy. I know. It's not easy, but it is worth it on the other side. Well, that is all I have for you today. I'm excited to tell you my website will be up soon, within days. It's Kimberly, livingfromtheheart.tv. If you want to ever drop me a message, you can go there, livingfromtheheart.tv. I can receive email there. So if you're wanting to get in touch with me or reach out to me, you can certainly do that. And my book, Naked and Unashamed, it's going to be out. It's in the final prints, and I'm so excited. It will be released in December, and you can go to my website to find out that. So I just want to encourage you to continue listening to things like HLE Radio and become a partner with them. You know, HLE Radio is a listener-supported radio program, and they work so hard to bring you good messages, and I'm a supporter of HLE Radio. I believe in them, and I continue doing that, because I tell you, it takes money to make these things happen. They just don't happen. So, you know, if you want to do a monthly gift to HLE Radio, I know that would be a blessing to Hunter Logan, who runs the program, because they continue to bring good stuff to you every single week. So let's help them stay on the air and do the things that we need to do our part. And I continue to advertise on this radio program. I do real estate in the Fort Worth area. So if you're needing a good realtor, you can Google my name, Kimberly Oliver, and you can find me on there. I'll certainly help you with real estate. So this is all I have for you. Thank you for tuning in. This will air again on Saturday morning at 8:30. God bless you in all you do. This is Kimberly Oliver from livingfromtheheart.tv. Check out my website. Let me know what you think. God bless you in all you do. Stay in faith, stay in prayer, and remember, it's just a season. Good things are ahead. God bless you in all you do. Bye-bye for now.
I remember as a little boy in a grocery store, I was playing by a rack of cans when they all fell on the floor. The manager came running, as mad as he could be. He took me by the nape of the neck and said, "Boy, you're coming with me." But I knew my daddy was on the other aisle, so I cried out just as loud as I could, "Daddy, come save your child." And when he came around the corner, I saw fire in his eyes. And I won't forget the words he said as he held me by his side. He is mine, he is mine. And if he's done something wrong, well, I can handle him just fine. But you better keep your hands off him unless you want to shorten your time. 'Cause he is mine,
he is mine,
he is mine. I dreamed I stood before God's judgment throne, and Satan came with a list of my sins. It must have been 2 miles long. He said, this man is guilty of the sins I show today. And I knew I had done them all. There was nothing I could say. Oh, but then I heard a sound like thunder fill the sky. Jesus spoke like a piercing sword, Satan, you're a liar. Then he pulled me over by him, and he took me by the hand. And as he lifted up the book of life, well, I heard these words again. He is mine,
he is mine.
And if he's done something wrong, I can handle him just fine. Off him unless you want to shorten your time. 'Cause he is mine,
he is mine,
he is mine. He is mine,
he is mine,
he is mine. And if he's done something wrong, well, I can handle him just fine. But you better keep your hands off him unless you want to shorten your time. 'Cause he is mine,
he is mine.
He is mine. Yeah, he is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine. Bikes apart. I nearly broke my leg that summer, rolling down a hill in a shopping cart. Dirt road, daredevils, backyard rebels, having fun till the sun went down. We were greener than a John Deere tractor, doing the best that we knew how. Just swinging it, sitting on the porch swing, swinging it, strumming my six string, singing it, learning how to play Chattahoochee and Amazing Grace. Just winging it, granny snapping green beans, stringing it, mom on the dinner bell ringing it. Just winging it. And I fell in love with the girl next door. She lived a mile away. I'd never had a kiss until we had our third date. It was all brand new, didn't have a clue, even awkward holding hands. And we didn't know what we didn't know, flying by the seat of our pants. Just swinging it, sitting on the porch swing, swinging it, strumming my six string, singing it, learning how to play check, yes or no, and Amazing Grace. Just swinging it, sharing the cool grill, singing it, burning up the telephone, ringing it. We were winging it. Well, every day's just one more lesson. Lord, I've learned a few. When the good Lord calls my name and my days down here are through, sitting on God's porch swing, swinging it, strumming my six string, singing it, still learning how to play. I saw the light and amazing grace. Just swinging
playing checkers with my grandpa, hanging in. Lay me low with the church bell.